going into games that if it's fourth and short and we're in plus territory or whatnot, we're probably going to go for it. That's our identity. That's all I've really known since I've been here. So sometimes it'll be 3rd and 7. We'll run a play, only getting 5 yards. And in my head sometimes, why are we running this play? We're only probably going to get 5 yards on this. But the coaches, you know, they all know we're going for on 4th down. So now I even know when it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and we get call a play that's only designed to get 6 or 7 yards, it's because we're going to go for on 4th down. So me as a player understanding that, it helps me out in certain situations because I'm not trying to, you know, if my route is at 5 yards, don't try to push it to 7 yards to get the first down. Run the route at 5, catch it. If you don't get the first down, that's fine. We're going to go for on 4th down.
Amon-Ra St. Brown laying out the Lions and how they do it, which brings in something that's mentioned on a broadcast all the time, one of my pet peeves. You know, if it's 3rd and 10, why don't you run to the sticks? Why'd you run short of the sticks? The answer is because they'll give you that. They'll give you 9. And if you're the Lions, you'll take 9 and say, we're going to go on 4th down.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they did all year long. And it did bite them in the championship game.
And this is the coach. If you want more 4th downs in the NFL, this is the man that needs to lead the charge. Not Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was a poser.
He was a poser.
That's a fourth down guy,
and then year two he completely changed.
Yeah. I don't even just the image. Like what did people look? They looked at Brandon Staley and thought, "Oh, look at this nerd."
That's right. And with Dan Campbell,
go call him a nerd.
Yeah, true.
He'll throw that right back in your face. Can't call Dan Campbell that.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday on WGR. We'll talk with Sal coming up at 8, Joe Marino at 7:30. This Bills roster, as we look at it, and you know, a full training camp. It is kind of funny. Like the third preseason game, nobody made it off of that. Nobody. Frank Gore Jr., no. Anthony Brown, of course, no. Ben DiNucci waived. Deion Kane, no.
Yeah, who finished
the job in the third and final preseason game? Bill Belichick yesterday with Pat McAfee, I think, said about preseason that you cannot even evaluate any position, maybe quarterback, but not even really, on preseason games. He's like, there's more to look for in practice than there is in these preseason games.
Yeah. I think I count 4 players that played in Saturday's game that made the 53-man roster.
Is it kickers?
Oh, I didn't count kickers. Okay, so maybe it's up to 7. The 4 that I count are, I don't think anybody on offense. Oh, I'll have to go to linemen because I'm sure a couple of the linemen made it too, but I only count Joe Andreessen, Eddie Ulofosio, Jamarcus Ingram, and Javon Solomon.
And isn't that just...
That's it. And then the kickers, and then, right, maybe there's a couple linemen.
That's just,
too.
You've got to play guys. And for guys like Solomon and Ulofosio, you're just getting them reps. And Dreesen, if he made it on the strength of the second game, not the third.
Right. Yep.
8 days. 8 days from the start of the season.
The third preseason game is also probably only temporary at this point anyway, because the moment they go to 18 games, aren't they going to
get rid of two preseason games?
They're going to go down to 2 preseason games.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Or even maybe 1. I don't know.
Yesterday on the afternoon show, Mike Shope was on, and he did a segment. Bulldog was off, I believe. And he did a segment that I liked, which is, it was a bit of an optimist's segment, which people called and said, like, all right, if you think that what they're doing at receiver is going to work, if this is all looking good to you, explain, you know, tell us why. Why do you think it's going to work? And there are a bunch of good calls and, you know, optimist take versus just different ways to look at it, because some are bullish on how this receiver group will work and others are, well, terrified.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would put myself as... I mean, you know how I'm obsessed with getting Josh Allen the best possible weapons he can get. I wouldn't say I'm terrified. I'm skeptical. I'd say that. I'm skeptical about their ability to be the kind of team that I think they need to be. But at the same time, the timeline is different of what they want to be.
Uh-huh.
This is a team that traded its best receiver to a competitor that they are in direct competition with. And then in the draft, traded their top asset to their chief rival. You made 2 trades this year with the Chiefs and the Texans, and I almost wanted to make a small joke yesterday. And then you made a trade with the Jets, but you know,
you're getting the player.
You did get the player in that deal, so whatever. So
it's funny. They made 3 trades though this offseason, and it was with all 3 AFC contenders.
Yeah, right. They're probably their 3 biggest contenders. they made a trade with. I mean, the Jets one is quite easily forgivable. It's a return guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But on some level, you know, if we're sitting here like, oh, the guy they traded away is no good, one of your chief competitors thinks he is, and he's going to play for them quite a bit. So, you know, making a trade in a year like that is a short-term year. It's the kind of thing you would do in fantasy football and say, like, it's not my year to win it, so I'm going to trade this guy wherever. He's old. I'll take a first-round pick for this guy in fantasy. And then I'll live to be better for it long-term. Short-term I won't be, but long-term I will. Okay.
The optimist view for me would be all about Coleman. That's it. It's got to come down to Coleman. All the last month of, you know, his Claypool lottery ticket guy. And, hey, what about KJ Hamler? And look at the camp Shavers is having. And is MVS going to make the roster? To me, like, all of it is really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's all, what is it a lottery ticket for? A lot of it is for insurance that Coleman isn't it. Like, if Keon Coleman and health, you know, also provides itself throughout the season, if you stay healthy and Keon Coleman shows up and can produce as a rookie, I don't need anybody behind the top three, right? I don't even really need Mac Hollins that much, I don't think. If Coleman proves he can do a little bit of everything, blocking and some of the dirty work. Like, Valdes-Scantling, like, I'm not impressed at all. I don't expect much from him if he ever has to play, but he might not have to play. If Coleman is good right away, they've got their guys that are going to be on the field. And to me, like, that would be the optimistic view of it is, I'm not really worried about their overall receiver room if Coleman is pretty good. I like Samuel and I like Shakir as football players. Like, I'm not really questioning their ability out there. So that's the way I get there is, I'm not a big Coleman guy, which is kind of where my pessimism comes in about the team, is I don't know how much I want to bet on him coming in and being good right away, but that's all it takes for me. That's all it takes. If Coleman's good and they stay healthy, like, they're probably going to be relatively the same team.
The same team.
Relatively the
sure,
same
sure.
team. Sure, sure. Relatively. I wouldn't want to say exactly the same, because I don't think you can just lose a 150 target receiver and not feel it at all.
Well, one
thing, feel it a little bit.
A common refrain, I listened yesterday to an AFC East Breakdown podcast, and the most common refrain you're going to hear, I mean, Josh Allen is the star of the show. We all know that. And today in Sports Illustrated, they revealed how the NFL player poll that we brought up yesterday has him as the most overrated quarterback, but they also rated him fourth,
which
just means we think he's fourth, not second, which is, you know, how overrated works. But I guess one of the things I would ask is this. If you are someone that thinks, hey, as long as they have Josh, they're going to be fine. I tend to agree with that. As long as they have Josh, they should win a lot of games.
Yep.
Should the GM think that? Should the person that constructs the team have the opinion, as long as we have Josh, we'll be fine?
Well, it depends. Like, what's the context provided? Because he's not looking at it in a 1 year window only, right? Does he think as part of that? Like, he does think that. Like, hey, the quarterback is so good, we'll be fine no matter what. So then I could take more hits this year and go all in and build a super team again for 2 years from now.
That's a great answer. Because that, to me, that is the needle that I would most likely believe they are threading.
Right. Versus, like, would it be different if Allen wasn't as good as he is? If you had a quarterback like Kirk Cousins or something, do you feel like you can take an off year? Do you feel like as confident that you can do that? That you can say, hey, we're going to give this guy less for this 1 year so that we can go all in on giving him everything in 2 years. I wonder. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't do that if you had a middle of the road or even a pretty good starting quarterback in the league. But you might feel more open to doing it because, hey, I'm going to win 10 games anyway.
That's
with Josh in there.
Right.
So
this is a comparison to the Chiefs. When the Chiefs decided to, all right, we're going to have a bit of a transition year. They had just, you know, gone to back-to-back Super Bowls, and it's time to transition. As long as we have Mahomes, we'll be fine.
Right.
That's the closest thing to it. People say this about how many teams? They say it about the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals. As long as you've got blank, you'll be fine. How many quarterbacks get that treatment? Baltimore should. I mean, Lamar's win-loss when he plays in the regular season. As long as he plays, they should win 10 games.
Yep.
Anybody else? Who gets that? who gets, as long as you've got this guy, you'll be fine. I don't think Stroud or Jordan Love get that yet because they've only had one good year. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Lamar, you have consistently, if they play, this team's going to win 10 games.
And that's probably the end of the list.
Right now, it might be the end of the list. Dak? Sure, I might want to give you Dak, but he's never giving the credit that way.
Right. No, he's not. He's not giving. No.
You're not saying that about Tua.
Nope.
Rodgers? You might say that about Aaron Rodgers. But it's been long enough where there's a little bit of doubt there.
5 years ago, I would have absolutely said it about Aaron Rodgers.
But I like the way you said that. Long term, sure. It's okay to think that. That means I know I can take medicine when I need to, and it won't get too sideways.
Right.
Because what that does, Joe, is that carves out for me the spot where I live, which is I'm good with a lot of what the Bills have done.
In the
interest of course, pretty soon turning and spending and doing the things that they have been doing to great success. It's why the only thing that really gets me upset is if anybody tries to tell me that what they're doing now is exactly what they want to do. How could anyone ever believe that when they have $62 million in dead cap? Do they want to have $62 million in dead cap? Of course not.
All right.
And if they didn't have that, they'd spend that elsewhere. So I like your answer. Anybody else have an answer like that? A nuanced answer? An easy answer? You want the GM. Should the Bills be operating like, as long as we've got him, we're fine? Because think about LeBron in Cleveland. I get an email. I should read. I should read this to you about LeBron.
Yeah.
I got an email overnight from a listener that compared the Bills right now to the Cavs with LeBron. And I don't necessarily agree with this fully, but Steve from Lockport wrote in, it feels like Allen is spinning his wheels because the team hasn't put enough star power around him to win. Fairly obvious the Bills have needed to add talent to the receiver room. Instead, they've only subtracted this year, perhaps substantially, until Bean's willing to give up some draft capital and or salary to add more star power on the offensive side. The Bills are destined to come up short like the Cavs during LeBron's first term.
Or even his. I thought he was going to go for the most recent example in Cleveland. His last year there, LeBron's last year in Cleveland, Kyrie left. His number one star talent left, and it was just him. It was just,
and I'm sure you said,
but what happened? They made the finals,
right?
They got swept because the Warriors had four and he had one by himself. But also, J.R. Smith forgot to score.
right.
But like that even that last year in Cleveland, it was kind of this like, hey, we had kind of a super team or close to it, but the second best player and a couple other pieces left, so now I'm kind of on my own here, but I'm LeBron. We're going to the finals anyway.
Yep.
But so, they didn't win.
Thanks, Steve from Lockport, for that email. I thought it was an interesting point. Good to bring up. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.